From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you, Benji. Welcome to the big bonus round. Yeah, with the big baldy gammon. Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock it is here. It's a lovely afternoon in Salford. I could be doing better things now. I didn't realise it would be so nice. Anyway, good to be with you for this one-off kind of a thing. The reason I decided to do this was, well, lots of things happening this morning that I thought we might comment on, you and me. Do tweet me right now, at Richie Allen Show on Twitter.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
I have no idea what sort of an audience we'll have this afternoon because it's such a kind of a late thing. But anyway, welcome. Welcome. It is the 24th of July, 2020. As I said, and I'll say it again, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon here in Salford. I say that because you might hear this later on and there may have been some news developments and things. You might think, why didn't he talk about this or that? I'll be around with you till around about 4 o'clock, maybe till about 10 past 4. I have no idea. Because I'm not the best in the world at timing these things. You know, not the best in the world at timing these things. Jean-Anne is in the house. How you doing, Jean-Anne? Yes, masks are compulsory today. Masks are compulsory in shopping centres and in shops and in banks and in post offices today here in the UK. And I went to Tesco this morning to kind of feel it out a bit. You see, other supermarkets are available and are as equally shit as Tesco. But Tesco is closest to me. And then just beyond it, there's a Sainsbury's and then there's an Asda. But I went to Tesco, equally as crap. Went in and the guard said, how are you? Nothing about the mask. Nothing. Every single person in there was wearing one. It was kind of busy. I got one dirty look, only one, from a muscle-bound gym bunny who was walking around with a high-maintenance floozy on his arm. You know the type. Blonde, bling, lips looking like the Michelin Man. You know. You've seen them walking around, the posers. He stared at me. I stared back. He looked away. Thanks be to Jesus. Because I didn't think much further ahead as to what if he doesn't look away. He was fairly big now, and I'm big myself. And then I went to... as I was leaving, sans mask, the security guard said, see ya. And great big fella, big Eastern European fella. And I said, what instructions have you been given? And he said, to basically mind our own business. And I said, that's very good. And he said, yeah. I said, okay. And that was it. And I walked away. And then I went to a pet store of reputation, to pick up some dog food. And as I walked in there, a mousy little dude standing at the front door, a real squirrely little guy, little mousy guy, he said to me very politely, excuse me, sir, aren't you wearing a mask? And I very politely said no and carried on down to the mature doggy section. And that was that. And I came back and paid for my dog food. He said, right, you are. Have a nice weekend. Adventures of a big baldy gammon. I don't think I'll have too many viewers if I start going around with a camera crew in tow. What a gripping life you do lead, you big baldy bollocks. So that was it. I posted my Tesco experience on Twitter. Did you see that? I posted my Tesco experience on Twitter. And Simon responded, and this is the sort of shit you get on Twitter now. Simon said, excellent. Great to see democracy in action. Hopefully you stay away from parents, older relatives, anyone obese, 18.2 million people of the UK, pregnant women, those at risk, or those over 60, 14.6 million. And then he tweeted, hashtag, fuck you, I'm all right, in action. Basically saying that by walking around without a mask, my attitude is, fuck you, I'm all right. Well, it is. I am all right. I'm 45, I'm fit, I'm not sick. Nobody is sick, at least as far as I can see anyway. Let me know your own experiences. Have you gone out today? Have you been out? Have you to pop around the shops to do your bi-monthly, bi-weekly, bi-whatever, fortnightly, whatever, shopping? What have you encountered? Has anybody challenged you Did you wear a mask anyway? You can tell the BBG. I won't judge you, I promise. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. I'm going to take a tune. When we come back, lots to talk about. Friday, bonus round. The bonus round with the BBG from Salford. This is John Paul Young. Summer is here. Woo!
Love it.
Yeah, get down off the table, you'll break it. Get down off the table, you'll only break it. Love is in the air. John Paul Young on the Richie Allen Radio Show. Friday bonus, bonus Friday. I don't know what the hell you bloody well call it. Hi to Rose Reznor. How you doing, Rose? Thanks for checking in on Twitter there. Nice to be with you. Jean Ann is being trolled by people she knows. She knows a lot of people, does Jean Ann? Famous people generally do. And some of them are, well, they're medical people. And they're being rather rude. Water off a duck's back. Remember Linda Hamilton's character in Terminator 2 when she meets Miles Bennett Dyson and she says, you're dead already. Don't let trolls or nasty people get you down. Let it be like water off a duck's back. They are dead from the neck up. They're unreachable. They are useless. Yes, they are still human beings and we must love them and we must cherish them. But don't allow their criticism bring you down. They are dead from the neck up. That is a fact. There is no reasoning with people. Feelings have long trumped facts in their world. Right? Narcissism on steroids. Doesn't matter what the facts are. If I think that the sky is brown with green polka dots, well, that's the way it fucking is. I don't care how many photographs you've got of the sky. I don't care that I'm standing underneath it. If I say it's brown with green polka dots, therefore it is. You can't deal with them. So love them, smile wryly, and move on. Walk on. Don't start that shit. Right, it's 13 minutes past the hour. Let's get into it then. Lots to talk about. Lots to talk about. Boris Johnson says anti-vaxxers are nuts. Yeah. It's over to Sky News presenter Adam Bolton with the lead-in to this. Johnson says, well, if you're anti-vax, you must be nuts.
The Prime Minister was speaking to nurses in London as he unveiled the UK's largest ever winter flu jab scheme aimed at helping the NHS cope with a possible second wave of coronavirus.
The MMR, yes. and the BCG, yes. And all that jazz. Because there's all these anti-vaxxers now, isn't it?
Well, Marina can tell you a little bit about how we've achieved that.
They're nuts, says Boris.
Marina, what do you think of anti-vaxxers?
He asks Marina, what do you think of anti-vaxxers? And Marina just looks at him the way you would look at Boris Johnson if he was standing in the same room as you. Anyway.
Well, following that aside to nursing staff, the Prime Minister spoke to reporters about his plans.
We're rolling out the biggest ever programme of flu immunisation, flu inoculation, and we're aiming, first of all, for school children, for up to year seven, for pregnant women, for people over 65, of people being shielded. But then we'll be extending it to people from 50 to 65. Now, the reason for doing this...
They want the entire country to be vaccinated for flu this coming autumn, winter. Sinister, eh? Let's hear what else he has to say on it.
This is to protect the NHS in...
And how could you say no? When he puts it like that, how could you say no? Have the vaccine there, Baldy. Nah, I don't want it, no. It's to protect the NHS. Which is like some... It's like Giza in Egypt. The NHS is like some sort of, I don't know, religious symbol, isn't it? Something to be revered and to be exalted, to bow down in front of and to never criticise. Ah, sure, if it's for the NHS, Boris, fuck it. I'll roll me sleeves up right now. Stab me with that fucking needle. Go on! Right? And this is how it's going to go for the next few months as they put pressure on people to have the flu jab.
The winter months, because obviously we've still got COVID, we've still got the threat of a second spike of COVID.
We are expecting a plan on junk food to combat obesity within days.
Now, I want you to think social crediting. Keep that at the back of your mind. You've just heard about have the flu jab to protect the NHS, but I never get the flu. And when I do, I get over it in a couple of days and I spring back to my feet Yes, yes, but do it to protect the NHS. Think of somebody else. Don't be selfish. Right now they're moving on to obesity. This is so creepy, I don't know where to begin. Right, don't be obese to protect the NHS. Don't be fat, you fatty, fat person, because that will impact on the NHS as well. We are really gone down the rabbit hole now. This is dystopia, right? Listen.
Whatever you announce probably isn't going to change the weight of the nation in the next few weeks and months, because things take time to bed down. So would you urge everybody who's tipping the scales right now to get exercising, to cut fat and junk food out of their diet, should this be a summer of weight loss for Great Britain and Northern Ireland?
Well, Sam, the answer, I'm afraid...
And will you do that? Will you do that yourself?
The answer is yes, I'm afraid it should. And, you know, I'm not normally a believer in nannying or bossing type of politics.
That bullshit.
But the reality is that obesity is one of the real comorbidity factors.
Yes, keep social crediting in your mind. I'm sorry for interrupting this again. It's very important. It's going to be antisocial in the near future to be overweight. It is going to be antisocial to refuse a vaccine. Well, you might be okay, but what about your neighbours? What about them?
Factors. It's losing weight is frankly one of the ways that you can reduce your own risks.
Imagine this.
From COVID, and actually, it's one of the ways you can generally improve your health and protect the NHS.
So and protect the NHS. Lose weight to protect yourself, to protect others, and to protect the NHS.
Yes, I certainly would encourage people to do it. And to answer your question, I'm on the way. I've lost about a stone and a bit.
It's rather stressful.
Well, if he lost a stone and a bit, he found it, and then some, by the looks of him.
Can you be Prime Minister? Because you take so many risks. Does it feel stressful?
Yeah, he goes on to ask a stupid question about, is it stressful to be the Prime Minister? And Johnson inevitably responds with, oh, it's a wonderful job, and I take immense pride in it, and all of that. Garbage. Then the question of, I think, anti-vaxxers comes up. They're going to go for a full court press on those people who ask questions about the COVID vaccine being rushed to the table, right, with a cavalier approach to safety, which they have for pretty much every vaccine anyway. It's relentless now, this full court press on people who ask questions about vaccines. Back to Johnson.
This whole planet has faced a very nasty new foe in the form of a bug that we didn't know about before. And whether it came from the love that flowers between a bat and a pangolin, or however it emerged, it's been a very, very nasty thing for the human race. And I think that by the middle of next year, we will be well on the way past it.
What was that now? What did he say there?
We will be well on the way past it.
By the middle of next year, he said. Obviously, the thing to take out of that is that this nonsense of social distancing, this fucking nonsense of you must wear masks to go anywhere, is going to continue until the middle of next year, people not being able to go to stadiums or concerts. This is garbage, isn't it? There's nobody sick. I don't know anybody who is sick. They've admitted themselves that the data has been falsified, with people being given the diagnosis of COVID, and then if 6 weeks later they die of falling over a fucking bridge because they walked out of the dog and duck, pissed up on Stella, the death cert says COVID. They've admitted this. But it's not going to change till the middle of next year, he says.
But I must be clear with people. I do still think that we have tough times ahead.
Of course we have. That's what your bosses are telling you. And it's what their bosses are telling them. Because you're only a patsy, aren't you? You fat little bastard. You don't make the decisions. You couldn't come up with a policy if you were here till Christmas 2097. You just do what you're fucking told. That's why you looked so horrified on the day that you announced the lockdown. You couldn't believe it yourself, could you, Boris? Eh? Yeah.
In keeping this virus under control.
Yeah, the virus. There's no virus anymore. We're in the middle of July. Doesn't matter if the sun isn't shining. Temperatures are 20, 21, 22 degrees on average. Nobody's fucking sick. There's nobody in hospital. It's the summer! Herd immunity has been acquired for this virus, whatever it was or is, months ago. Lest I play the clip of Chris Whitty, the chief medical officer, again. Shall I? Shall I play it again? Have a listen. It's very important. We were going into retreat from the virus even before the lockdown.
Quite a lot of the change that led to the R going below one.
The R going below one
occurred in well before, or to some extent.
Before. Well before, and then he corrected himself. Well before, to some extent, yeah. Yeah.
Occurred in well before, or to some extent before, the 23rd when the full lockdown started.
Yeah, yeah. Good lad, Chris. Good boy. Fetch boy. Fetch boy. Good lad. Shocking stuff, isn't it, really? What's going on? The middle of next year, Boris Johnson speaking to Sky News today, attending hospitals, joking with nurses about anti-vaxxers being nuts. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Later on the same programme, World Health Organization Dr. Margaret Harris was on. Same programme, so it's Adam Bolton. I think you'd hear Bolton's question.
Let's discuss this question of face coverings, first of all. The World Health Organization and the British government during this pandemic have both changed their advice now. It's now agreed that face coverings are a good idea. Is that right?
Good morning, Adam. Yes, there's a growing body of evidence which is indicating, first of all, that there's a higher risk in closed indoor areas. Now, we've always known that's likely, but where people are close together, it's very hard for them to physically distance. And so there's more likelihood of spread from droplets, or even if they cough or yell or speak very loudly from smaller particles. So that's why we say cover your mouth, nose and mouth and nose with a mask to prevent anything coming from your mouth and nose. And you'd be like, well, hang on, I'm healthy. But the problem is that this virus is in your mouth and nose before you know you have symptoms. So you may be unwittingly going out there and infecting particularly the people who are serving and working.
Yeah, we're all walking, we're all ticking time bombs according to these fucking lunatics. All of us, ticking time bombs. Walking around, blissfully unaware that we are super spreaders of a deadly fucking plague. This is what they're saying on national television, and it's going unchallenged. There isn't a journalist with the balls or the fucking uterus anywhere in the country to say, stop, love, stop, this is bullshit. Nobody's sick, love. It's gone, whatever it was. And everybody who died, or nearly everybody who died, died in care homes. The rest of us got it. Most of us didn't know we had it. It's gone, it's gone. Stop with this shit of we're walking around, you know, unaware. Super spreaders, ticking time bombs. Stop it now. But no, there isn't a ball, there isn't a bollock amongst Adam Bolton and his pals. So she gets away with spewing this, vomiting forth this crap on a daily basis. Not a single whisper from Bolton. It's dreadful, isn't it?
Working in all those places, who are there to look after you. And
they're there to look after you, and you're walking around and you could be spreading your diseases. So wear the mask. Wear the mask.
Provide essential services for you. So that's exactly why we are saying this is something people should do.
Why was the advice wrong at the beginning of the pandemic?
Hello. Half a decent question. He's referring to the fact that the World Health Organization were pretty clear back in March that, well, masks are as useful as Jordan in a mathematics lecture at Oxford University, right? Jordan might be good at maths for all I know. Good question, Adam. You told us back in March the masks were useless. What's changed, love? Now you're going to hear lies on a scale you can't imagine.
So the advice we were giving at the beginning of the pandemic was
was that masks were useless. The advice they gave at the beginning, and I'll prove this in a moment, masks were pretty much useless and they do more harm than good in March. Now they're recommending we wear them. Let's hear the lies. Let's hear Undiluted lies. Let's hear them.
Really focusing on healthcare workers, because we knew with these particular viruses, the people most at risk were people working in healthcare settings. And unfortunately, as you know, we have lost far too many healthcare workers.
Bullshit.
And we were really focusing on reserving the masks for healthcare workers.
The reason we gave the advice about masks in March was because we wanted to reserve the mask for healthcare workers. This is a monumental lie, and Bolton should be all over this.
Because at the beginning, there was a lot of panic buying. And
panic buying of masks. There was panic buying of masks back in the beginning, so we gave the advice not to use masks so that there would be more for the lovely frontline workers that we could clap for and stuff. Now, this is patently a lie. It's obviously a lie. Bolton knows it, but he's not going to call it out.
And people were actually buying so many of the masks, there weren't the protective masks and the protective equipment for people.
Bullshit. Bullshit. The advice for the masks from the World Health Organization, the arsehole-in-chief, Michael Ryan, remember him? Remember Michael Ryan, the chief executive director of the WHO Emergencies Programme? Masks are commonly misused. Masks don't offer the intended protections. Masks can provide a false sense of security, leading people to become less vigilant in washing their hands and keeping their distance. Masks are a problem because people constantly touch the outside of the mask, making it less effective. Masks are useless because coronavirus is spread by droplets and not airborne transmission. The most likely person to become a case of COVID is someone who has been in significant contact of another case, Michael J. Ryan. Masks are not much use at all, they said. It had nothing to do with preventing us panic buying masks and depriving the heroes on the front line of using them. The NHS and the police and the fire brigades and all of that crap. Lies. Lies and damned lies. And Adam Bolton knew that but didn't open his mouth. On the anti-vaxxers, what did Margaret Harris from the World Health Organization say?
And the Prime Minister here, Boris Johnson, has described anti-vaxxers as nuts today. Do you agree?
People who have strong opinions and strong beliefs about vaccination are coming often from a sense of concern, a concern for health. Sometimes they are relying on science that is not correct, or they've had misinformation. And one of the areas we are really working, we've got a huge team working on misinformation, because misinformation can be as deadly or more deadly than the virus itself.
Yeah, it's important we hear that last bit, because this is where it's going, right? You haven't even begun to understand what censorship is.
Information, and one of the areas we are really working, we've got a huge team working on misinformation, because misinformation can be as deadly or more deadly than the virus itself.
Yeah, we've got a huge team at the World Health Organization working on misinformation. Of course you do, love. Of course you do. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. Good afternoon, Diane. Former guest. Good pal, I like to think. How you doing, Diane? Hi to the monk. Hi to Dorian. And hi to Elizabeth. Elizabeth tweets this. She says, Richie, the masks and distancing are to prevent herd immunity from happening before the vaccine is ready. If the virus is in your mouth and nose, why do they have to shove a swab in your brain to find it? Thank you, Elizabeth, and thanks for your kind words about the radio show. I really appreciate it. Lots and lots and lots of comments. Diane commented, remember when Bojo was in hospital supposedly with COVID? I think he had a brain chip fitted. He wasn't really ill at all, says Diane. You might be right, Diane. You might very well be right. It might also be right, or it might also be the case that he did, or was given, or induced, or came into contact with some sort of virus and was particularly ill. You know, it might be the case as well. I don't know. To reinforce maybe in his mind that this thing is serious. I've no idea, but I hear you. Hi to Fabrizio. How you doing, Fabrizio? Bristol Being tweets, masks today, then it's junk food, then it's alcohol, then it's anything they say is bad for you, like independent media with different views. Oh, the independent media has been and is in the crosshairs of these varmints. these varmints can't sarn it. Dag nabbit. They've been coming after the independent media for a long time. Hi to Charlotte in Burnley, who says Boris lost a stone in a bit due to having the old coronavirus. Hi to Wayne, who says he's literally in stitches listening to the Richie Allen radio show. Thank you, Wayne. If we can't laugh, my friend, if we can't, I don't know, expunge all of the tension and the fear by laughing our arses off at these idiots, well, we're in trouble, my friend. Somebody said they wanted to hear some Roy Orbison today. Here he is. I love this man. I love you too. You, as in you, not you too. Back in a few minutes with more chat. The Richie Allen Radio Show in Salford.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Welcome back to the program. James says, how you doing, Richie? Sitting with the wife having a good laugh with your, he says, excellent analysis of the bullshit. Have a great weekend, says James. Thanks, James. Say hi to the wife. I don't think the analysis today is excellent, mate, but thank you anyway. 25 minutes it is to the top of the hour. Well, it's 25 to 4 this afternoon, Friday, July 24th, 2020. The BBG, not the BBC. Broadcasting from Richie Allen Radio Towers. Yes, a converted studio, a converted bedroom in my house. I know it's a remarkable thing, isn't it? Isn't it just? Indeed. Downstairs, the future Mrs. Allen is beavering away for her company with two dogs alongside her, a very young one, excuse me, and a very older one. It's mad. It's mad to be alive at the moment. I don't know what's going on, to be honest. You know, let's move on. Retailers, businessmen and women, differing opinions on the masks and enforcement of the masks. Diane is in the rag trade, meaning she sells clothes, you cloth-eared, you know, rag trade, rag and bone, yeah. She's in the rag trade. She won't be asking customers to wear them. In fact, she's fairly indignant. You will hear the Sky News reporter before hearing from Diane. Go on, Diane.
No face covering, no entry. From today, you will have to cover up when visiting a shop or supermarket in England. But the owner of this clothing store is angry with the new guidelines and thinks the government is late in implementing it.
We have been imposing social distance since we've opened, since the 15th of June. So why didn't they introduce it when we first opened? Why now?
Retailers like Diane are against enforcing the rules, which if you fail to follow, you can be fined up to £100.
For me, I'm not going to go and call the police on my customer. No,
yes!
I'm not. That's for sure. No. I'll offer them a mask, and if they don't want to wear it, they don't want to wear it. I can't force people to do it.
But you still allow them to come in and shop?
Yeah, because they are my regular customer, and I will definitely allow them to come.
Go on, Diane! Go on! You see, Eastern Europeans of a certain age, they know what's going on because they've lived it. They've lived with totalitarianism in certain parts of Eastern Europe, so they know. So Diane's a good woman, and if I had to buy a pair of underpants and she was anywhere in my vicinity, I'd be buying me undies from Diane. In fact, she sells dresses for women. I turn trans for Diane. I'm so proud of her. Now, but a builder's merchant phoned James O'Brien on LBC. His granddad was diagnosed with COVID. Aww. He won't be serving the non-mask wearers. So if you need a couple of 2x4s, if you need a measuring tape and a bag of cement, don't go to this builder's merchant. He won't give it to you unless you're wearing a mask. Listen to LBC's James O'Brien struggle to sound sincere in expressing concern about old grandpa.
My granddad was diagnosed this morning with the COVID-19.
Oh, I'm sorry, which is mate.
Unfortunate.
Yes, of course it is.
It's a big thing for me. I work in a builder's merchant.
Right.
Obviously, this morning, masks are now mandatory within the shop. And people are coming in blasé, thinking it's not real, it's still not a thing, or I don't care attitude. For the last 2 months, maybe, I've had masks, I've had gloves on, you know.
So what are you going to do then?
I'm sorry,
I hope your granddad's fine. I hope your granddad is better sooner rather than...
You couldn't give a fuck about his granddad, James. Stop pretending otherwise.
And later, I'm
he's,
sure
he's
he
85.
Will.
We can only...
He's 85 and he got diagnosed with COVID. Oh, my God. Well, we better wear masks then, eh? Fuck it, 85, eh? He's got his whole life ahead of him.
Can only wait, can't we? But
everything crossed for you, mate.
Everything crossed for you, says creepy James O'Brien. Just be honest, man. Just move on. Don't give a shit about your granddad. Anyway, are you going to ask people to wear masks or not?
Everything crossed.
Yeah, I'm challenging the customers that come in now because...
Because of granddad. I'm challenging the customers that come in now. I didn't give a shit till granddad was diagnosed with COVID.
How'd you do it? What's your manner like? How'd you, if you don't mind me asking.
I'm saying, have you got a mask?
Mm.
And they'll say no. And I say, well, please can you wear one?
Yeah.
It's not to protect you, it's to protect us
and
yourself, but more us than you. How do people take it?
I mean, are you turning people away? You're not letting them in yet? Or are you going to give them a day's grace?
A day's grace.
If it was me, I'm refusing to serve them. It hasn't gone down great.
Right.
But I'm not bothered. I'm not scared to challenge anyone.
No, you're also quite emotional, aren't you, because of granddad? I do get that. And I do.
It doesn't sound very emotional to me, really.
This morning now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's become more real. I mean, not that it wasn't real in the first place.
No, but it's...
Pathos, pathos, pathos. Pathos, pathos, pathos. Bucketfuls of fucking pathos for the audience. The guy doesn't sound particularly disturbed or moved. He's moved on from granddad. He's now talking about why he will say no to people if they don't have a mask. But O'Brien, the fucking useless muppet. I can hear you're very emotional. Pathos, pathos, pathos. It's all they've got, the media these days. Anyway. O'Brien is a chunt. You can't say the word properly. You've got to say chunt. Chunt. Shall we have another tune? It's Friday afternoon. And I won't be around much sooner. Oh, Christ, Richard. Here's the Pretenders. It is, yes, yes. Here's the Pretenders on the Richie Allen Radio Show, bonus show Friday afternoon. At the BBG, not the BBC. Salford is beautiful today. Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders. And when we come back, there's even more news for you. So I trust you won't go anywhere. All right. If I come and go like fashion, Chrissy Hynde, the Pretenders, don't get me wrong. 16 minutes to the top of the hour. Friday afternoon, drive time with the BBG. I've got plans. I've been telling Jean Anne and I've been telling Caroline. I have plans for the inevitability of the radio show being taken off the air. It will be. It won't be immediately, but in the very near future, it will be. And you'll know why. We've got some more news in a few minutes. And I've decided I won't be able to go to do a one-man show because I won't be allowed to do that. I've wanted to do that for some time, take the show to the stage. And I've got most of it in my head. Basically a semi-comedy show for 90 minutes about what's going on. And I was planning this year to do a couple of trial shows in local theatres. I've even been in touch with theatres about it. But that won't be allowed either. In the near future, the Richie Allen Show won't be on the radio. And obviously it won't be streaming on Zoom or on YouTube either. So I've decided when the time comes that I'm prohibited from broadcasting, I'm going to get a license to drive an Uber. And I'm going to do the Richie Allen radio show in the Uber for every single fare. This is the plan. It's how it's going to be. So, I don't know if you know how... I'm not endorsing Uber, by the way. It might be difficult to get a Hackney license, I don't know. I'm not endorsing it one way or the other. But the way Uber works is you book the fare in advance so the driver knows where you're going. So when I pull up to the drive in my Uber with the big baldy head, you know, well, I'd have me little flat cap and I'd have me furry dice on the rear view mirror, the car would smell lovely. It'd be like island taxis from Collateral, Jamie Foxx. It'd be just a beautiful taxi. You know, all the mod car, everything inside gorgeous. And I would pull up and they would get in. And I would basically do the Richie Allen Show for as long as I could until I dropped them off. Basically talking as if I was talking on air, basically. Would not be a gas thing to do, wouldn't it? How you doing? First thing you can do, folks, is take those fucking masks off you. There's no need for them in this car. And then just drive away, I'd pull away from the curb, and I would start doing the show. I would start talking about vaccines and stuff, looking straight ahead as I would do on the road, and not even look back, and give them some spiel, and then pull over and let them out. I think they'd be fairly bewildered by the time they get out of the taxi. No money changes hands. It's all done electronically, of course. Uber is about the cashless society as much as anything else. But wouldn't that be a good thing to do, eh? You're driving along. They're going after vaccines. Boris Johnson this morning was saying that all vaccine anti-vaxxers are nuts. Just start talking like that as you're driving your passengers. I think it would be absolutely brilliant. Anyway, back to reality. Back to reality. Back in the room. Back in the room, Richie. Back in the room. Jean-Anne says you could have fairy lights in the back as well. Yes, fairy lights in the back. And an on-air sign, a neon on-air sign. Just start talking about stuff as you're driving along. Saying stuff like that. This is the BBG, not the BBC, driving you to Manchester City Centre. The health secretary this morning said, blah, blah, blah. I think they would think that you're absolutely barking. And you could reserve the front seat for the occasional surprise guest, says Jean-Anne. Yes, Jean-Anne. Very good. You see, an idea is like throwing a stone into a pond. It creates ripples and other clever people weigh in. Yes. We're just putting over now. Piers Corbyn is getting into the car. Fucking brilliant. How you doing, Piers? Piers, I hear you were arrested again the other day. Yes, yeah. Two people sitting in the back, totally bewildered. But they might learn something. They might learn something. Okay. Talk radio host Kevin O'Sullivan is worried that we're all turning into a nation of snitches. He told his colleague Mike Graham as much this morning. Have a listen, Kevin O'Sullivan. Kevin O'Sullivan, as we would say in Ireland. O'Sullivan. It's a great Cork name. Do you want to hear him? Fucking hell. Put the fader up, good lad, and press play again. Kevin O'Sullivan, talk radio host, speaking to Mike Graham. He doesn't like the fact we're all becoming snitches.
And what worries me about this, as I say, the mask thing, it makes a kind of logical sense, I suppose. So what the hell? I'll do it. But what really worries me is you can already see the signs of it. There's all these people going, I saw someone not wearing a mask.
Right.
I'm going to call the police. It'll turn us into an even more of a nation of little sneaks than we already are. Well, too many people are ratting out their neighbours.
Well, I was going to say, you probably would have been as incensed as I was when you saw that cyclist shopping Madonna's ex-husband, you know, Guy Ritchie, for texting.
Ah, come on. Guy Ritchie is known for a bit more than just being Madge's ex-husband, for fuck's sake, right? He's had about 10 films that made in excess of £200-300 million at the box office. I think he's moved on now from the guy that used to be married to Madge, right? Give him cut him a bit of slack. This is about Guy Ritchie. He was parked at traffic lights and he was sending a text message on his iPhone, and some guy who's well known for pulling up on his bike and capturing people using their phones and then shopping them to the old bill, caught Guy Ritchie. What a snooping bastard he is.
Texting while he was sitting in a traffic jam.
Well, on my show on Sunday, I'm going to ask that particular question based on that incident. I did put out a tweet censuring the cyclist, saying what kind of I used a swear word, snivelling little person was he? You know, when I was a kid, my dad, my mum, my teachers, my scoutmaster, they told me above all, do not be a sneak. Do not tell tales. Now we seem to be proud of telling tales. All these people on Twitter going, isn't it great what that cyclist did? No, it's not.
Exactly, it's not. What a dickhead cycling around London trying to catch people in their cars. Yes, if you are at the wheel of your car and you're texting, you are a dickhead. Richie, are you being a hypocrite? Have you ever done it? No, I have not. I swear to God. I swear on that. Richie, have you always been an angel behind the wheel of a car? No, of course not. We've all made mistakes. But I don't use a fucking phone when I'm driving. I'm terrified of causing a crash. generally. I drive like, I don't know, I drive like driving Miss Daisy, to be honest, at the best of times. But it's rotten, isn't it? This snitch, this snooping culture that's... It was creeping in anyway, but the COVID thing seems to have accelerated it. A lot of you are very interested in my segueing, my moving into Uber driving in the near future. I'm getting asked questions on Twitter about will I be coming to Scotland? No! No, I won't. I'll be driving around Greater Manchester, of course. Right. Picking up fares. And doing the show from behind the wheel of a car. Where are we? 9 minutes to the top of it. We're probably going to go over a bit. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. John Waters, Irish journalist. Top man. I think a man with obviously an enormous amount of talent as a writer. But also I think somebody with a lot of love in him. A lot of decency. Which we don't see much of these days. Gemma O'Doherty posted a video of John on her Twitter account the other day that's gone viral. And nobody, as far as obviously Vernon Coleman, of course, and some of the other guests, yes, of course. But John Waters is a great speaker. And he succinctly sums up, I think, this fucking mask madness. It's really good stuff. Here he is, John Waters, whom I hope will be back on this programme next week. John Waters.
You know, we're in a situation where absurdly and ludicrously, a government is ridiculously claiming that it is interested in saving lives and protecting people's health and is harassing a man with a health disability and dragging him into court because he refused to bend the knee to this tyranny.
But also think about the fact that at the very height of this alleged pandemic, back in April, there was no talk of compulsory masks.
No.
In all of May, when the figures were dying away to nothing, there was no talk of compulsory masks. In June, when there were no cases virtually at all, there was no talk of compulsory masks. Now, when it's gone. They are now bringing in compulsory masks. And the reason for that is they need visible evidence of terror.
Yes.
They need to create a visibility of the terror that they want to inculcate in the people. And that's why this is so important to them. These are really sinister people we're dealing with now. These are people that we previously thought of as people of our own kind, these politicians. We thought, but we have to start thinking of them now as alien beings, as hostile beings to the Irish people. They are the enemies of the Irish people. Clearly, they are intent, because the mask is a way of denying the very human face of the person. It is a way of taking away the individual, unique humanity of each person and turning us all into zombies and restoring us to a kind of animal state so that we no longer will look at each other coming down the street as Tom or Mick or Mary, my friend, my sister, my brother, but instead as a festering mess of bacteria and viruses, which is a danger to my health. Oh! You know, I have to get out of the way. This is what they are turning the human person into with this whole thing. This is, and I'm not saying that our people are responsible for thinking this up. They don't have the brains for that or anything. But this is what they're implementing. This is the thinking behind it, to destroy the spirit of the human person, the individuality, the personality, the conscience, the character of the human person. That is what this project is about.
Yeah, he's a great speaker. And he's obviously speaking from the heart. And that, I couldn't dream really of summing something up as beautifully and as poetically as he summed it up there. And you heard, and you will hear in a minute, because I've got some audio from a GP called Ellie Cannon. You heard, he said, festering mass of bacteria. Beautiful use of the English language. You heard the World Health Organization doctor, Margaret Harris, earlier on. They want us to see each other as, you know, unconscious, like zombies walking around, as he said, super spreaders. Dangerous people, danger, that we represent a danger, a clear and present danger to our fellow man, even if we don't realise it. So therefore we must take steps. We must take the fucking vaccine. We must wear the masks. We must not hug people. We must not kiss people. We must stay away from granddad and grandma, right? It's mad. It's mad. It's sickening. And it's enduring. It's enduring, and I just might have, little clip of John Waters on this radio show. I reckon this was about 2.5 to 3 months ago. Listen to him back then, talking about care homes, talking about the inhumanity of the approach to COVID. John Waters on the Richie Allen Show.
There are so many things to be said, Richie, that are not being said. People need to be understand that there are so many things now going on that need to be teased out and speculated about as well, as you know, people informing themselves. But even speculative conversations, trying to put pieces together, say, what is this all about? How can they, isn't it extraordinary the way that there's a kind of a ritualistic process now going on where we're being inculcated in ideas of isolation and, you know, distancing and, you know, that these are weapons, like that, the main qualities when you think about it for the immune system, the three things I said yesterday in the fourth course, there are three things you need more than anything else to make you keep your immune system strong. And they are fresh air, sunshine and love.
That's right.
And those things are being attacked in this process, that people are dying now in nursing homes and their loved ones cannot get near their beds. The people that they've been lived their lives with for many, many years or decades have to just get the word on a phone that they're gone, and that those days passed without a touch or a kiss on the forehead of their loved one. It's a shocking act of cruelty that is being imposed on our societies by these bastards. They should be flogged. They should be horsewhipped, in my opinion.
John Waters, again, on the radio show, I think about 2.5 months ago, well, it was April, wasn't it? April 22nd, so, yeah, 3 months nearly. That was very emotional and very powerful. You hear James O'Brien earlier on trying to inject pathos into his programme, insincerity, dreadful, and you listen to that. That's a real journalist. John Waters, a real journalist. And on that, Ellie Cannon, Jim Corr is trending, by the way. Now, Jim Corr is a pal of mine. And not, you know, I'm not a name dropper. And it, for some reason, he's trending on Twitter. I'm guessing that Jim is getting hammered because he has obviously come out strongly against mask wearing. And he's come out strongly against the mandating of vaccines. So I think he's getting a bit of stick. Knowing Jim as I do, and I've talked to Jim a few times over the years, I think he's well able for it and it won't bother him in the slightest. But this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. I interviewed Jim many, many years ago on Talk Radio Europe in Spain, where he gave a fantastic... We had him on for 2 hours just chatting generally about why he began to ask questions about certain things, 9/11 and stuff. And he's a really lovely bloke, and he took great care of Caroline and myself when the Corrs were in Manchester a couple of years ago at the arena, which was a lovely thing. He didn't have to do that. Lovely man, and he's very, very smart, is Jim Corr. And there's a great tolerance amongst the Corrs. The sisters, I think the sisters are not so much into the independent media, and that's fair enough too. That is their right. But they have great tolerance and love amongst themselves. That for them, it's Jim doing Jim's thing, and let Jim do it, and fair enough. I have a lot of time for that. So Jim is getting a bit of stick. They're talking about Breathless, the song, of course, which is a great song by the Corrs, because Jim is talking about not wearing masks. Like I said, he's got very thick skin. I wouldn't worry too much about him. Now, speaking about the horse manure, about super spreaders, Ellie Cannon is a GP here in the UK that's used very often by Sky and the BBC. And she's suggesting that, well, she says that she agrees with this wonderful, wonderful idea to try and get nearly everybody in the country to have the flu jab this coming autumn winter. Of course, to protect the NHS. This is sick, this shit. You will hear the presenter first, then you will hear Ellie Cannon.
Free flu vaccines will be on offer for people aged 50 to 64 households, including a member who has been shielding, and all school years up to year 7 for the first time this year. GP Ellie Cannon joins me now. Hello to you, Ellie. It's a big expansion of the vaccination programme. How effective do you think it will be?
It is a huge expansion. I mean, really, what we need to do is get people through the door for the flu vaccination. Obviously, first of all, it's really about the most vulnerable groups. So the elderly, those people with background health conditions. We've known for a long time it's important to vaccinate children because they tend to spread flu a lot. So they've all...
This is sick, this. I hate listening to this. We've known it's important to give kids the flu jab because they're spreaders. This is sick. And this is what they've been building up to for years. The perfectly healthy must take this shit to protect those who are unhealthy. Madness. But yet it endures. Its time has come.
Always been the priority. And then now we are expanding that to anybody over 50, anybody who lives in a house with somebody else who is shielding in order to protect that person. And really, it's just about getting those numbers up as high as we can.
Yeah, it's just about getting those numbers up as high as we can, you shameless wench. Shameless. Eh? And how are you going to manage this mass vaccination? Because we're told surgeries are up to their tits in any case. Wait till you hear her answer. This is the future now. All of these movies we enjoyed in the 80s that looked ahead to a sterile, cold, grey world where authoritarianism reigns supreme. It's fucking coming. She starts talking about drive-through vaccine clinics that you will be expected to attend.
Well, I think we're going to have to use some of the creativity that we had in March and April.
She goes on to talk about the hospitals that they built that lie empty.
That saw us build brand new hospitals. And so in comparison to that, I think vaccinating vast numbers of people should be possible. We developed throughout primary care in April and May things called hot hubs where patients could have very sort of quick and safe appointments. And I think we could do that type of thing for flu vaccination where we had walk-through services, very quick, very low contact with lots of social distancing. If you remember year on year when people get their flu vaccination, they're always crowded in the waiting room of GP surgeries. Well, we certainly won't be doing that this year. So there will have to be more centralized systems, possibly a bit like the testing systems that we've had, like drive-through, like in big car parks, big outdoor spaces.
Drive-through, outdoor car parks, big outdoor spaces. You are going to find yourself being fucking harassed to take a vaccine in the way that you are harassed when you walk down Market Street in Manchester and the dickheads from the various charities like Oxfam, fucking pedos, and others, right? Not all of the people who work for Oxfam, but many of the people who have gone overseas for them, child abusers, they come running up to you and annoying you as you're going about your shopping. This is the future. You go shopping, you walk down Market Street, you're in Liverpool, One, you're in Leicester Square in London. They'll be coming up asking you to take the vaccine. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating that. This is where it's all going. You have to take it because, well, you might not be sick at all, but that's not the point. You could be a spreader. A spreader. And if you're a spreader, well, you could hurt somebody else. Therefore, you've got to do the decent thing. This is where social crediting comes in. Obese people, I told you this earlier on. And I'm way over the hour I planned on doing, but I've got to finish with this story. It's disgusting. The Labour Party is trying to get RT off the air in the UK. It wants RT to have its licence taken away from Ofcom, which is the regulatory authority for broadcasters here in England, for the media, effectively. This is sick. Why? Well, because Labour doesn't like some of the things that happen or some of the people who appear on RT. The Labour Party is going after RT. Oh, it sure is. Here's the story very briefly. I'm going to rush through this. Labour has urged Ofcom to review the licence of RT. Labour saying there's been troubling revelations in this week's Russia report. This week a report came out from the Intelligence and Security Committee which suggested that Russia interfered in the Scottish independence referendum and might have interfered in the Brexit referendum. No evidence, mind. None. None whatsoever. And alongside this, it said, the Intelligence and Security Committee said, there was serious distortion in RT coverage. Right. So Labour, Joe Stevens, the shadow culture secretary, supposed to be a Labour woman, supposed to be a socialist. If she's a socialist, well, I'm a woman, right? She wrote saying that she believes RT's reporting it caused harm. And she wants to meet with Ofcom because she wants their licence to be taken away. Here she is on Sky News this morning. Free speech is dead.
Well, what I'm asking for is for the independent regulator Ofcom to meet with me to explain what is happening about their review of RT and its broadcasting and its compliance with the broadcasting code. So, you know, I know RT will say that they will accuse us of trying to clamp down on free speech, but actually I reject that accusation. It's completely groundless.
Well, it's not groundless, love. You want their fucking license to be taken away to broadcast because you don't like something they've said. It's not groundless. It's apparent by the tone of the letter that you wrote to Ofcom. You don't like him, so you want to get rid of him because they say things that you find offensive.
That's what I'm interested in and what MPs from across other parties are interested in, and as the former Prime Minister Theresa May was interested in, is what Ofcom is doing to ensure that RT is committed to and is upholding the terms of the licence, the broadcasting licence, which Ofcom provides for them to broadcast in the UK, and that they comply with the code and with the due impartiality requirements.
Go on, Stephen Dixon, Sky News presenter. Please present some opposition to this. Go on. Well,
is there any evidence that they're not complying with the code?
No,
there's
plenty
of evidence.
There isn't any evidence.
Look at their record. Their track record is that they have breached the broadcasting code over 20 times since they've been airing in the UK.
And you know what? Sky News, as an organisation, has breached the broadcasting code at least twice the amount of times that RT has. Minor stuff, really. And the things she's referring to about RT are minor breaches as well. Getting things wrong, right? Putting out statements or reporters saying things which later turn out to be inaccurate, which usually results in the station making a retraction. Sky has done it more than RT, which Stephen Dixon knows. Later on in the morning, Afshin Ratanzi came on Sky and pointed that out. Right. No evidence that they've done anything so heinous that their licence needs to be taken away.
And in the Intelligence and Security Committee report that was finally published this week after a 10-month delay by the UK government, it was very clear in that report about the position of RT. The TV channel has been, in the words of the Intelligence and Security Committee, broadcasting disinformation directly from the Russian state.
Which is, at this stage, he should jump in and say, which disinformation are you talking about? But he doesn't.
The Ofcom had fined and found against RT earlier this year.
Yeah, and there's a judicial review in progress about that. That's well known. RT have said, no, what we published, what we broadcast was true, it was impartial, we know it, so there is a judicial review.
Earlier this year, they fined them £200,000.
Yeah, there's a judicial review, though.
Appealed through a judicial review to the High Court, which they have lost, and the judgment in that case was very clear that RT broadcast information that posed actual and potential harm. So there is a clear track record of breaches of the broadcast.
She's wrong. Ratanzi came on the programme later on and said that they haven't lost a judicial review, as far as I understand. But anyway,
of the broadcasting code, and that's why I want to have a chat with Ofcom and find out what they are doing in terms of reviewing the licence.
Imagine that, eh? Labour Party asking Ofcom to consider removing RT's licence to broadcast. Right, it's nearly 4:10. Right, I'm going to say this. I've never said this before, but I'm going to say it now. And I don't know why I'm picking this time to say it, because obviously the audience this afternoon is far, far, far smaller as than it would be ordinarily, because this was basically a last-minute thing. But you've been listening to 1 hour and 10 minutes of news that was produced and edited by me. And regardless of what you think of the content, in terms of whether you agree with what you heard or disagree with it, it's outstanding in its production values. And it takes me on my own hours upon hours upon hours just to do a single hour of it. Ordinarily, it would be a team of 4 people working on a radio show to do this. It is so labour intensive, what you've just heard. And I'm saying that because you need to understand that. And at the moment, because of the situation we find ourselves in, the programme is losing a bit of financial support because people are in the shit in ways they never thought they would be. I get a lot of apologetic emails from people saying, Richie, I've got to suspend the £5 a month or the £6 a month, and I don't want any apologies from anybody. People are absolutely screwed tighter now than they ever were before. But for those of you who listen to this and take it for granted, there's nothing like this anywhere in the world. And it is unbelievably difficult to do it. It's a five days a week for the live show, but it's really a 7 day a week job. And I'm asking you to consider in the next few weeks, if you've never done it before, throwing £2 or £3 a month our way, my way, to help this thing wipe its face every month in terms of covering the cost of putting the programme on air. Okay? I don't care how arrogant it sounds. I'm not particularly modest, but I'm also not immodest. I'm not, you know, a braggart or you know, somebody who sends himself flowers. I'm not. I'm a realist. This is the best produced radio show on planet Earth. There's nothing like it. And for it to continue, it's going to need a little bit of support. For those of you who have suspended your monthly contribution to the programme, don't feel a little bit bad about it. Not even a smidgen. People are fucked. I know they are. I'm well aware of it. I'm living amongst people who are terrified about their finances. But if you're listening and you're not doing too bad, and you've not supported in the past, go to richieallen.co.uk. Bank transfer details there. There's also a PayPal address. And make that connection for the first time. And I'm not going to apologise for saying what I just said. I'm going to say it again. This is the best produced and edited radio show in the world in 2020. I don't give a fuck how arrogant that sounds. It is the envy of people who work in the industry. I know because I'm in touch with them. They are aghast, radio presenters and producers, that this is pulled off 5 days a week in the manner with which it is pulled off. It's a treasure. Not because of me, but because of the people who come on. So let's do a little bit more to keep it on the road. I'm not going to fucking say that again. I will not say it again. The last time I make an appeal for this programme. Right, enjoy the rest of your weekend, right? Thanks for listening today. It's been fun today. I'll be back on Sunday for sure. I'm off the booze. not because I got pissed up last Saturday. I wanted to give myself a good long break from the booze anyway. And look after yourselves. I'm planning on getting out on the road to a park somewhere with the dogs tomorrow to get a bit of fresh air. Family day out, picnic, I think. Leaving you with Marmalade. Bye. Oh bloody, oh blood, that goes on.